A Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, first of May, 7 minutes past 12 midday, Man in Line with you through till 1. Well, it's all very confusing, but I'll give you the official line at the moment. 233 new cases announced yesterday. We have 1,337 active cases. Four of those are in hospital at the moment, meaning that 1,333 currently isolating in the community. On the vaccination dashboard, 64,424 first doses have been administered. 56,525 second doses, 2,124 people booked in for a jab over the next 7 days, and Department of Health and Social Care holding 7,794 shots of vaccine in stock. So four people in hospital, there's an increase of one since government's update yesterday. I'll just run you through this. So 1,348 active cases of coronavirus on the Isle of Man, 244 up since the last stats were released. New reporting fields are now featuring on the dashboard, which show new cases added. The figure of 233, which was the one I gave you. There are positive results in the last 24 hours with a figure at 210. So 210, 233, 244. You pay your money, you take your choice. But that's where we stand at the moment. And there was a walk-in vaccine clinic, which wrapped up about 10 minutes ago. The next walk-in vaccine clinic is next Tuesday, the 27th. It's a Pfizer one at Chester Street Hub. And next Wednesday, there's another Pfizer one. The one this morning was Oxford AstraZeneca. So next Tuesday, 27th, 9 till noon at Chester Street Hub. Pfizer next Wednesday, 9 till noon, Pfizer as well. It's all basically first come, first jabbed, a limited amount of vaccine available. So if you want to be there Tuesday or Wednesday next week, Chester Street Hub for Pfizer walk-in vaccination clinic, 9 till noon. So I just wonder whether you could report the supply of lateral flow tests on the Isle of Man. Have you been trying to get stuff today? Have they all arrived on time? And are you happy with the service so far regarding lateral flow tests? We are where we are with this, and certainly things seem to be moving forward. The government seems to have a handle on this. I just wonder what your thoughts are regarding this. Of course, there are active COVID-19 tests cases found in a number of schools. Patients, parents and carers have been notified of all this. Ballacottia, Peel Clothworker School, Russian, Manor Park, all reported cases. In all instances, those who've tested positive are now self-isolating. They're doing contact tracing. All the schools are following public health guidance and are keeping students, parents and carers updated on the situation. This will be, pardon the pun, but fairly academic after tomorrow because schools wrap up. Police are asking for your help. Just a couple of things regarding the west of the Isle of Man on the coast. I'd like, just if you have any feedback on this. The police, the constabulary is investigating an incident that took place behind the castle between 8 and 8.30. Involving a young male who was swimming in the sea when an unknown male approached his belongings, picked up his goggles and threw them into the sea. The victim searched the area where they landed but couldn't find them. Well, these weren't just any goggles. They were prescription sports goggles. Now, police are investigating this as a theft. If you have any information on this, and it may seem nothing to you, but it's just one of those things that we need to get on top of. An unknown male approached the belongings of somebody who was swimming in the sea, picked up his prescription sports goggle and threw it into the sea. If you got any information on it, by the way, Peel Police Station is 842208. That's 842208. If you can, or you can call, you can email PC Barker 175, Richard Barker, richard.barker@iom.pnn.police.uk. Oh, it's easy to give them a call. 84208. Mark joins us first of all on Man in Line. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Andy. How you doing?
Well, good. Nice in the sunshine, anyway.
No, that's not too bad, is it? Right, listen, I've got a couple of reasons. I could probably think of quite a few others, but I've got three reasons I can give you right now for why I think the TT will not take place next year.
Oh, crikey, don't depress us.
Well, it's not a case of depression, it's a case of being pragmatic.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, first of all, we've had a very famous virologist from Oxford University is claiming that there's a perfect storm just around the corner. We're up to 8 variants of the COVID vaccine virus at the moment, and he suspects that there could be another 3 or 4 to come in the new year. If that's the case, we could be in for a major problem come the new year. The second one, and this is the most important one as far as the Isle of Man's concerned, is that we have a very tiny amount of intensive care beds. Now, if any of those intensive care beds are taken up with people who have any variant of the COVID, then that's going to impact on potential TT riders, fans. They're not going to be able to be treated in intensive care. And that means we're going to have a health and safety issue. And the third one is what I've termed the Bulgarian problem, and that is that if you want to go to Bulgaria for a holiday, because Bulgaria is on green, you can do. But unfortunately, the Bulgarian government will not let British people go there because they have put Britain in the red zone.
Well, that's affecting all the Black Sea coast, obviously, isn't it?
Exactly. So if other countries around Europe, and I'm thinking primarily of the people who tend to come to TT, the Swiss, the French, the Italians, the Germans, all it needs next year is their government to say, we don't want you to go to Britain because we're not happy with how the British are coping with their COVID, then we are going to be hit with masses and masses of cancellations.
Do you think the government, do you think the Department for Enterprise are aware of all this?
They should be, because if I'm aware of it, and I only watch BBC News, if I'm aware of it, then there should be people down there that should be fully aware of it. But, I mean, the most important thing, as far as I'm concerned, is the bed shortage. We've only got, I might be wrong, Andy, and obviously somebody could come along and tell you otherwise, but as far as I know, we've only got 8 intensive care beds. If 3 of those, playing devil's advocate, if 3 of those have COVID patients in, then surely the other 5 would have to be isolated.
Yeah.
Therefore, if you have a serious crash in TT week, there is not going to be anywhere to treat the patients.
Yeah, I think at the back of my mind, I remember Mr. Ashford saying that it was somewhere in the teens as far as beds, because they've got the ICU unit, but mm-hmm. they were talking about repurposing the private patients wing temporarily to do that. So,
oh, well, that's fair enough. Yeah,
but I take your point, because if let's just say we have anything like a typical TT, there could be 3 or 4 people in ICU with fractures and what have you.
Absolutely, yeah. And if there's those 3 or 4, just like you say, that's on the low side. If there's 3 or 4 people with fractures or, you know, potential life-threatening injuries, and then 2 people turn up with COVID, then those 2 people are going to have to be isolated somewhere else. But do we have somewhere else to isolate them?
Mark, and again, this is a very common sense approach to this. I mean, are you a fan of the TT?
No.
So, I mean, what do you think the government should do? I mean, do you think the government should prepare for the best, should just hope for the best and prepare for the worst? What do you think they should do?
Absolutely, absolutely. They should go ahead and try the best to get everything up and running. But the second that a spanner gets thrown in one of the cogs, they should say, right, this could have a knock-on effect. This could spiral completely out of control. And if we leave it too late, we are going to look really, really stupid. And with all due respect to the government, we've looked stupid in a few places around the world with these roundels and things like that. We don't want to look stupid anymore by organising an event that's world famous around the world and then literally at the 23rd hour saying, oh, it's not going ahead.
They cancelled TT last year, wasn't it? Was it February, something like that?
Yes. The latest, Andy, the latest would be February, March.
Well, that's. I mean, it's common sense. It's depressing news, and it's you know, it's an opinion that not many people are going to want to hear. But it's.
I didn't want to phone up and say it, Andy, but it's been bugging me for the last couple of days because it's like I've just said to you, and you just said back to me. It is common sense. If we don't have the bed capacity, and these viruses start to mutate even worse, what's going to happen? Where are we going to go with it?
Okay.
We don't want thousands of people to come here and have a great time, but then go back home ill.
Okay, Mark, I appreciate that, and thanks for calling today.
No problem, mate. Take care.
All right, thanks for calling today. Ian calls now on Man in Line. Hi, Ian.
Hello there. Where's Max? Are you going to stop talking about the most hated day of the week, Monday? You get sick of it all the time. It's nothing worse than having done the job you catch down there. That would be mind up Monday.
Say that again, Ian.
Why does Manx Mayor keep ramming it down our throats about the most hated day of the week, Monday? Get sick of hearing about it. Itchy feet all the time. Sponsored by Itchy Feet.
Oh, I see. I know what you're talking about. Itchy Feet Recruitment. I just got there. Itchy Feet Recruitment, yes.
Yeah. Only if there's something worse than a job you can't stand without being mind up the most hated day of the week.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
This is Anne here. I was just wondering, in the interest of hygiene, why Marks and Spencer's fresh baked cakes and scones aren't either wrapped up individually or covered. With the COVID being rife at the moment, and it should not just be for COVID, it should be all the time.
I just wonder what you think about that. Do you think open food, and the lady was talking about Marks and Spencer, do you think that should be as it is at the moment? If people are going around picking up bread, picking up fruits there. I don't know whether you shop there, but how do you feel about that? There are no lateral flow tests in Port Erin. Just been behind someone in Lloyd's Chemist who was asking for that. So no LFTs in Port Erin. Some more messages. Somebody's just said, half the Isle of Man's going to be panicking if Bulgaria's not letting people in from Britain because there are lots of Manx people with villas on the Black Sea coast. Maybe you, I don't know. Here's the message yet now. Why are the government allowing the Dark Horse Music Festival to go ahead this weekend? There's no chance of social distancing. Well, you're perfectly allowed. You're perfectly welcome to go there. Dark Horse Festival is going to be happening. It's not compulsory to go. I think that's what they're talking about. It's not compulsory. It's just like lots of things aren't compulsory. Not having a vaccine is compulsory as well. Now, do you think they haven't thought of what's going to happen to the TT? Is this just scaremongering? This is Mark talking about it, and he got it off his chest, talking about the fact that TT relies on ICU bed capacity. And just go back, Mr. Ashford has talked about this from the beginning. His message has been very, very clear and consistent in that we have to protect ICU capacity on the Isle of Man. Well, let's hope the government has got a handle on it. Let's hope the government know what they're doing regarding TT. Everybody around the world, all the TT fans around the world, are hoping that TT 2022 is going ahead. Government are saying it's going to be a heck of a festival next year when it happens. So, well, we'll see. As with everything in COVID for the past, 14, 15, 16 months or so, everything is with hindsight. Everything. Hi, Andy, says Andy. How long before we hear the Chief Minister say, with hindsight, we got it slightly wrong? Residential homes with cases, some elective surgery has been suspended, hospital staff shortage, bars, cafes, shops closed. Is this what they mean with living with the virus? Please get everyone vaccinated. Want it to stop delaying the vaccination program, now running at 300 a day. We're capable of 1,000 a day, says Southern Andy. Here's a note in that just says, have always thought that open food displays should be banned. People just thinking about this now. And Dave said, Andy, M&S provide tongs to pick up items. But then again, does everybody use the tongs, or do they just pick the bread up and think, you know, which is the softest one? I'm disappointed, says Richard. Disappointed Alaman government, and specifically DOI, have let down island voters who are self-isolating and unable to get to the polls today. No doubt changes will be pushed through in case a similar situation arises at the Keys general election in September, when I hope voters remember the disdain that the Minister for Infrastructure has displayed towards them in Timbal this week. Tim Baker has just said, bluntly, there's nothing they can do about it. And new readers start here. There are 7 out of 21 votes taking place today. It's local election day. Some people, however, are self-isolating. Some people have been told to self-isolate, and they can't get to the polling station to vote. Is that a denial of democracy? There are 4 ICU beds and 2 ICU isolation beds, says D. 6 with ventilation ICU needs. But the contingency last year and ongoing is a further 8 ICU beds in the theatre recovery area for patients requiring ventilation ICU intervention. The private patient wing was isolating patients stepping down from more intensive high dependency care and preparing for discharge. Thanks for clearing that up, Dee. Appreciate it as well. If you cover the scones and cakes in Marx's, the climate change people will kick off about the plastic. Well, you can't have it both ways, can you? There won't be enough. This is Sue who dropped a line in, said Andy. There won't be enough hospital beds for all the unvaccinated once they start getting COVID. And I agree with Anne. Marks and Spencer bakery goods should be covered. And I think they're probably losing sales. I won't buy something that might have been coughed all over. Oh, crikey. These days, food's wrapped in tamper-proof packaging, and never understood why self-service bread and buns. Okay, even before COVID, I'd never buy stuff that was in the open air. You've got to get in touch by texting 166177, email studio at manxradio.com. And I've had a very interesting note in. Some people want the number again for that incident in Peel. The young male who was swimming in the sea when an unknown male approached his belongings behind the castle, this is, and picked up a prescription sports goggle and threw it into the sea. You want to call PC Barker, Richard Barker, on 842208 in Peel. However, jet skis may be causing a problem around the west of the Isle of Man. Apparently, there are jet ski, and this has been something that's been on social media. We do have a Wildlife Act, and we do have Isle of Man Constabulary wildlife officers, but apparently some jet skiers have been following the dolphins and possibly frightening the dolphins off. It could drive the dolphins away, stopping others from enjoying watching the dolphins, kind of heading towards the dolphins. So if you've got any reports of this or you've seen this happen, then please get in touch. Obviously, the wildlife, our sea wildlife, is extremely important to the Isle of Man. And if jet skiers are following, apparently they're intent on getting photos near the dolphins. But I wouldn't have thought dolphins are too happy about jet skis approaching them. This is happening on the west of the island, Glenwillan, apparently. Fiona's with us now. Hi, Fiona.
Good afternoon, Andy. How are you?
Well, it's a nice day today, isn't it? You're not out and about, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm stuck indoors because I done one of those lateral flow kits yesterday, which has given me a positive COVID.
What now?
Well, I've got to go and get a test at the grandstand, the larger test, but I'm just wondering, does anyone know how accurate these lateral flow kits are?
Well, I think you have to take it on trust, really. The best thing now is just to find out officially whether you are or you aren't. How do you feel?
Rough. I feel like I've got a real heavy dose of the flu.
Oh, Fiona, I think you may have it.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I'm hoping that these tests are not 100%. And if they are, that means I have. So obviously I'm taking every precaution. But trying to get hold to the rest of the household is becoming impossible.
Whereabouts are you?
Chemist up the north.
They did say yesterday that Lloyd's on Parliament Street had some.
Yeah, they haven't. They'll be found this morning at 8:30. We've got to ring back again at 2:00. So there seems to be, you know, and when you think about the population on the island and how they have these tests in Douglas, why isn't there any facilities up the north for, like, the testing and for the jabs and everything else?
How many tests do you need?
Well, people, no, I'm saying for other people that are feeling poorly.
Yeah.
And for the elderly and all that. And
no, I mean, how many tests do you need for your household?
Well, there's four that's in the household.
And you won't know until 2:00 this afternoon?
We won't know until 2:00 this afternoon.
Right, okay.
Managed to get a hold of some 28 kits.
Are you booked in for a test at the grandstand at all?
I am, yeah. When I tested, done the lateral flow test last night and it came up positive, I got onto 111 and then I had to fill in a form online and then I got an appointment back for 3:50 today.
Okay, and have you done the track and trace and what have you?
Well, this is the thing, that they've told us we don't need to do the track and trace, which I don't understand. I've contacted people I've been in contact with and told them there's obviously there's a few more to get around, but we can't get the kits.
Okay, well, Fiona, I hope everything goes well with your test. It sounds like it's, I don't want to preempt it, but it doesn't sound like very good news, does it?
No, not really, no.
You've dodged it for a long time, but now it's got you.
Yeah, it has. Yeah, and, you know, I have health conditions and low immune, so I've been extra careful everywhere I've went and everything else. Oh, no, I've had my 2 jabs and it's got me.
When did you have your 2 jabs?
It was June where I had my second jab, June 30th, I had my second jab.
Well, fingers crossed anyway, Fiona, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Andy, bye-bye.
Good to talk to you, 28 minutes past 12, man in line through till 1 today. For the first time, I'm not going to be voting in local elections because I don't have a clue who's standing, no manifestos through the door. Whereabouts are you, Dave? I had actually my second manifesto, but only earlier on this week. The first manifesto came through, must be a couple of weeks ago, and there have been a couple of reminders. In fact, there was a car put through last night, so one of the candidates in my constituency is very keen and will probably get my vote, I have to say, as I'll be voting later on today. The point about Marx's is valid, but doesn't that apply to others, people like ShopRite and Tesco and what have you? They have stuff that you can just pick off the shelf. That's true. There is open bread counters in many places. I just wonder whether you think is. I mean, obviously, you pay your money. It's your choice. You can buy them or not. And if you're worried about people coughing and sneezing all over stuff, then you won't do it. Regarding TT, says Phil in Onken, surely TT may have a limited life anyway. From 2030, there's going to be limited petrol engine bikes available to compete. It's already been proved electric bikes can't do more than one lap. Some can't even do that. I hope to be proved wrong, but I can't really see a way forward. Well, TT's battled through many things in the past, and no doubt the electric bike thing is being followed up. I mean, bikes are a lot better. Electric bikes are a lot better than they used to be, of course, but we lost them. TT Zero came and went in a blaze of glory. It was extremely, I can't say it was exciting because it was silent, but no doubt the people in government will be mulling this over. Again, it's something we can talk about when we come in the run-up to the general election, because there'll be lots of politicians who will, and presumptive politicians, who will have views on what the TT will mean to Isle of Man. Here's Howard with us now. Good afternoon, Howard. How are we doing?
Good, Andy, good. No, it was just that when you read that thing out a second ago about the local council elections, we're in Hills Ward, and we've not heard a peep. In fact, there's not even an election up this part of the world, I believe, because the councillors who are in Douglas Town Council have automatically gone back in. But maybe your listeners, I don't know whether he's standing down as council leader or standing down as a councillor, full stop, David Christian.
Oh, he's standing down completely?
Completely.
Yes.
Well, surely that would have left a vacancy within Hills Ward then.
Well, the only, I mean, Douglas is all contested apart from Douglas South.
Well, there's no polling station in Hills Ward where we live. There's no manifestos, there's nothing. You wouldn't even know there was an election on. Because I know the two, Claire Wells and I can't remember what her name was, but the other one, and then there's David Christian. But as I say, I think that David Christian was standing down completely, so that would automatically have left a vacancy which would have required an election.
Well, there are all sorts of rumours, and Mr Christian won't confirm or deny whether or not he's going for Keys or perhaps Ledgeco.
Well, either way, if he's standing down, that vacancy would occur. And if that's the case, then why was the area not contested? And why was the people, the councillors at the time, just go straight back in? Surely they've done a fair stint in there, and they must have new ideas, and they must, in all fairness, give the people who they are supposed to be supporting an idea what they stand for.
Well, tonight, I mean, from 9 o'clock tonight, we've got a special programme on for 3 hours. We're going to have all the seven counts. We're going to have reporters out. So that'll be on live tonight. And obviously tomorrow we'll be talking about what's going to happen with regards to local democracy. And certainly this issue about the government not, you know, saying that people who are self-isolating can't vote, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, well, that's a different entity, but that's September. They can rectify that in the meantime.
But yeah, but they knew about it in February.
Oh, yes.
They were talking about it in February. And, you know, it's not like they haven't had a run-up at it for local elections. And particularly, if any councillors, you know, get in or lose seats by half a dozen votes, and that could happen, you know, I mean, where
quite
does...
easily. Quite easily. And as I say, our area, Hills Ward, which covers a fair patch, we've heard absolutely nothing from the media. Well, very rarely by local papers, but from any of the people, the councillors, etc., they're just assuming that they've got the God-given right to assume the position of council. And, you know, it's unfair. Even if he didn't get anybody standing, surely they must have had an idea what they were representing and what the people would expect of them. You know, there's been no surgeries and nothing in all the time that these people have been in asking the councillors what they want and what they don't want.
Well, it's something we're trying to get to the bottom of, and hopefully we'll find out more tonight as well. But, I mean, the COVID pandemic has affected all sorts of things. So, well, we'll see who the new personalities are in Douglas, Howard.
Yeah, well, I know there's two. There's Claire Wells, she's automatically gone in, and the other female has automatically gone in. But as I say, I question the fact that David Christian, and I know David well, if he's standing down, that would have left a vacancy.
Okay, all right. Thanks for calling.
Take care.
All right, good to talk to you. Tony said, Andy, what about the charter boats that charge to follow the dolphins? Aren't they harassing the dolphins? Jet skis are no problem, says Tony as well. We've just been to the opening of the Queen's Pier. Exactly 135 years since it was last opened. What an amazing day. Well done to all those who steer the project along, all the volunteers, fundraisers and supporters. It's a marvellous achievement and wonderful to see lots of people in Ramsey supporting it today, says Helen. The Queen's Pier opened today, exactly 135 years since it was first opened. Now what's going to happen as well? Callers on 66 13 68. Oh, lateral flow tests are 99% accurate, says Steve. If it gives you a positive result, text to 502. Slightly less accurate if it gives you a negative result, says that. You make sense of that? I've been down to vote at the Yonkin election this morning. Thank you, Alan. Good to hear from you. And I thought once again how anachronistic the process is. Each year, I get a letter giving me a unique code to log on and verify my entry on the electoral roll. I do my tax return securely online and tax my car using the tax code sent me. Surely a similar code could be posted to each voter, allowing them to log on and vote online. The tellers at the polling station could have terminals saying who has done this to stop potential double voting. Those who wish to vote in the traditional way could still do so. An option to vote in this way would surely encourage younger people to vote and help reduce the very low turnout figures. Who knows, perhaps 20% or less in some cases. Now, many young people don't seem to want to bother to go to a polling station. Alan's point of view. So, electoral roll? Confirmed online, tax return online, car tax online. Why not do the voting online? Thanks for that point of view, Alan. It's good to hear from you. It's 23 minutes before one. This is Manx Radio from the Isle of Man. Local election today. If you can vote, if you've got a vote, then vote.
At Southern Home and Gardens in Ballasalla, you'll find everything you weren't looking for. Plants for that part of the garden you've not gotten round to yet. Throw pillows you didn't even realise you needed. Tools and DIY accessories for that project you completely forgot you're supposed to be doing. Bedding that you didn't know you wanted, but you actually really, really want it. At Southern Home and Gardens, we don't stock products, we stock inspiration. Come and see us in the Balthane Estate, Ballasalla, or find out more at southernhome.co.uk.
Grandad, please can I have a drink?
Of course.
Can I have ice in it?
Well, that's easy with the ice maker in our new fridge freezer from Pascoe's.
Ooh, and a jug ice too.
Hmm, last time you got covered in chocolate.
Sorry, Grandad. But you do have a new washing machine from Pascoe's.
That's true. Luckily, I'm keeping my cool with this excellent new fan from Pascoe's. They really do have all the electrical products we need for summer.
Pascoe's of Tramode, your island's premier electrical appliance retailer.
Blackford Financial Services are proud to announce that our Ramsey office is now open. Blackford's are here to help make life simple as we guide you through the important financial stages in life, from helping you on your first mortgage right through to planning for your well-earned retirement. Our philosophy will help you live for today, but plan for tomorrow. Call in to 87 Parliament Street, Ramsey, for a chat, or contact Ashley on 816 437 to arrange your free no-obligation meeting.
The Southern Agricultural Show is on the move! After nearly 50 years in Castletown, this year's show will be on a new site at Orisdale Farm, Ballasalla, Saturday 31st of July and Sunday 1st of August from 10 till 6, with all your favourites including livestock, horses, dog shows, vintage machinery, plus loads of entertainment, local food and drink, shopping and competitions for all. The Southern Agricultural Show, sponsored by Haven Homes and supported by your nation station, Manx Radio. Don't miss it.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
I was listening to the television the other day, and a professor in psychology at St Andrews University on BBC TV said that self-isolation is the key in this pandemic, and also with government support. Otherwise, the number of cases will keep increasing, and that seems to be happening here since the 2x2 rule and borders were opened. Another professor said that the virus will get weaker if there is less spread and also less mutations. So obviously that means, again, self-isolation. Our government seem to have lost the plot and given up, saying we will have to live with the COVID. Their recent decisions will surely make this happen, and everything and everybody will suffer. And but surely a stronger policy now will be initially hard, but work in the long run. Oh, also, I understand that people with both vaccines have also been affected. And when they had the stronger policy earlier, last year, it did make a difference. What they've done now is not making any difference at all. It's just getting worse.
19 minutes to one, and Tommy joins us now. Hi, Tommy.
Hi, Andy. It just concerns an earlier item on the news at midday, Andy, concerning the Treasury having to take over the all concerns of the meat plant.
Yeah.
And I assume that's financial as well. Why is that happening, Andy? Has there been some miscreant there? Has there been fraud of any kind?
No, it's just that there was a big debate in Tynwald. There was a committee report which criticised the way the meat plant was run. It was obviously in DEFA, Department of Food and Agriculture. They claim that the meat plant was nationalised in 2017. The committee said, and they there was a cancelled tender, as well as conflicts of interest, they said as well. So it was a big hoo-ha in government, and Treasury's going to be taking over the meat plant.
Well, second, concerning the voting, why can't we vote by text, Andy? Because, I mean, all the phones lead back to an owner, surely, don't they?
Yeah, I just think it's all a bit late in the day, Tommy. I mean, they knew that this could possibly happen, but I mean, they could do all sorts of things. That they could, you know, could do a drive-by vote. You could go like McDonald's. You could just take your card in and do it that way. Stick a mask on and perhaps do it that way. But it's I just wonder not whether they'd let this happen for a general election.
I don't see why not. I mean, we get a bad night, whatever it is, and people don't want to get it to travel to a certain place. Yeah, we've got the technology around me. Why can't we use it?
All right. Okay, Tommy, thanks for calling.
Cheers, Andy. Thanks.
17 minutes to one on Manx Radio. There's all sorts of hoo-ha being made, really, at the moment. Local pubs, restaurants and proms, shops on the prom and everywhere else are facing economic turmoil. And no promise of help from the government. A number of businesses have been forced to close over the last week due to staff shortages caused by the spread of COVID-19 in the community. There have been arguments within Tynwald over this. The Treasury Minister said it's not as bad as everybody thinks. And people like Claire Christian are saying, oh, yes, it is. A message in this. Thank you. This is Terry, who just said, crikey, what's happened to Bulgaria? The truth is, Bulgaria's announced it's going to bar travellers from the UK from earlier on this week. It happened even as Bulgaria travellers are moving to Britain's green list, allowing them to enter the UK without quarantine. So Bulgarians can go to the UK. But from Monday, this Monday past, UK's added to Bulgaria's red list. An update on the UK government's travel advice website said as well, arrival from the UK will only be permitted for Bulgarian citizens and long-term residents. So that's where that happens. So just as you wanted to go to your villa on the Black Sea coast. Eh? More comment coming in about the jet skis frightening the dolphins over the West Coast. And also a message in from Big Joe, who said, adding to Mark's comments on the TT, people who are vaccinated outside the UK may not be permitted on the Isle of Man anyway, or will not be permitted as far as Joe's concerned. Oh, and by the way, there are no tests at the pharmacy in Anaka. The British Medical Journal says lateral flow tests are a 57.26 probability of having the test positive anyway. Is there a government briefing today? No, there isn't, said that. Hills Ward no longer exists. Of course, it is Douglas South, and that was uncontested, Howard. So that's why you didn't get anything through the post. They've all just sailed in. There weren't enough candidates. Here's a message in, just said, by the way, is the Dark Horse Festival for vaccinated people only like in the UK? If not, this seems crazy to let the Dark Horse Festival go ahead. Well, it's going ahead. So I suppose, again, it's not compulsory. You don't have to go to the Dark Horse Festival. And that's really what we call living with the virus. Now, a note in that says let me just correct this thing. Howard was talking about Hills Ward. Doesn't exist. It's now Douglas South as well. So I think Frank Schengel and Stephen Krellin appointed uncontested alongside Claire Wells. But listen in tonight, by the way, from 9 o'clock. We're going to be live, a cast of thousands, well, seven. I'll be in the studio. Ewan Gorn will be in the studio with me, and we'll have reporters at all the counts around the Isle of Man just to see where the local democracy is falling. Of course, 14 out of the 21 uncontested. That in itself says something about the state of local democracy and the willingness of people to stand to be commissioners and councillors. If lateral flow tests were so accurate, you wouldn't need a further PCR test. Well, lateral flow, I think, is an indicator. I mean, it's not the definitive test, isn't it, as well? We should have got the volunteers from Queen's Pier to do Douglas Promenade. It would have been finished by now. There would have been a better job. Terry thinks, anyway. Text 166177, email studio at manxradio.com, or call 66 1368 on Man in Line.
Take advantage of the new Sunset Link N8 evening bus service linking Peel to Port Erin. With four buses each way, you could head out for a meal or a drink in a fantastic location southwest of the island. The Sunset Link runs every Friday and Saturday from the 23rd of July until the 4th of September and complements an additional night owl service linking Douglas to Port Erin, Peel, Laxey and Ramsey. For timetable information, call 662525 or visit bus.im.
If you're looking for outstanding care in your own home, contact Care at Home. Our small, friendly team of professional carers are police-checked, fully trained and managed by our in-house nurse and therapists. Contact Care at Home on 233308.
Excited about starting your new business but feel daunted by accounts, tax and VAT? Then talk to Nicola Bowker & Co. before you do anything else. From expert advice to getting a helping hand, Nicola Bowker & Co. can help and guide you. Call 861 271.
Show the garden who's boss with Riley's Garden Centre. Tractors, tools, the latest cordless equipment from the island's dealers for Honda, Stihl, Stiga and Echo, plus Traeger pallet grills to help you enjoy the results. Visit rileys.co.im.
It's Port Erin Festival of the Beach and Sea, Saturday and Sunday the 24th and 25th of July. Chill out to great music on the beach stage, enter the sandcastle and kite flying competitions, have a go on the giant water slide and the bouncy castles and beach rides free on Saturday. There'll be six Manx wildlife mega tanks full of marine life to explore, the legendary Scruff's Dog Show and fireworks on Saturday night, plus traders and food stalls, the open water bay swim, mascots race and more, with a park and ride scheme all weekend. Get your shades, get your sunscreen, and get down to Port Erin Festival of the Beach and Sea. Supported by your nation station, Manx Radio.
Jump aboard the time train and take a trip back to the 1960s on Carnaby Street every Saturday morning at 8:30 with Isle of Man Railways. It's full of 60s hits and memories. On board the time train, Gladys the Tea Lady.
Right, boys.
Harry the Driver.
Hello, crispy old mate.
Roger the Fireman.
All aboard Isle of Man Railways time train.
Oh, and Raffles the Dog. And of course, you and me. You can win tickets for two for one of the Isle of Man Railway's fantastic dining car experiences. Carnaby Street, 8:30, on Manx Radio, on AM, FM, online, on smart speakers, and all over the world at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Thanks for tuning in. Could we hope that all those who are too lazy to go out to vote will refrain from moaning for the next 4 years, says John in Oncombe. Well, we could. In Oncombe, we've had three leaflets from eight or nine candidates, says Gaz. In my area, just isn't people in isolation who aren't voting. At least four healthy people aren't bothering to vote because the politicians aren't bothered. Three leaflets from nine candidates. Wow. I thought that having the jab would sort this out. The vulnerable, all jabbed as well. Lockdown doesn't work. So as soon as you lift everything, we're straight back to square one. Well, we're not back to square one, are we, Bill? We have to face this head on. Give it 4 weeks, it should all be sorted. Well, we've been at it now for a week or so, so we'll see how matters go. A note in just to say, regarding I'm in Douglas North, I've been to vote, received manifestos from all four candidates and a pledge to call face-to-face if requested, says Barry. I don't understand why there's such a focus on vaccine passports and limiting what people can do based on having vaccines. It neither stops you getting COVID or passing it on, so what's the point, says Jake. get the vaccine, but we can't limit people's rights who can't or won't get the vaccine. We can't limit people's rights, says Jake. Now, people blame the unjabbed, says this correspondent, for COVID problems. How come this has only happened since the second relaxation of the borders, when only double jabbed are allowed to wander around the island with no restrictions? Although I'm double jabbed myself, I don't blame all this on people that aren't double jabbed. Just regarding this argument that's been going on about pubs, restaurants and shops facing economic turmoil with no help from the government. Now, a number of businesses have been forced to close over the past week, perhaps your business, due to staff shortages caused by the spread of COVID-19. It's led to a desperate plea for support from those who are suffering the twin impact of self-isolation and severe debt.
A Chamber of Commerce survey found customer-facing retail and lifestyle sectors are financially unsustainable due to the combined impact of self-isolation rules and high levels of debt. 63 businesses contributed, with the industry body forecasting that the situation will worsen if government doesn't meet urgent requests for support. Bon Fabrics are based in Douglas. Debbie Kelly Banks owns the shop and told Dave Moore that although they remain open, they're seeing fewer people coming into the capital.
We've noticed that there are an absolute lack of people coming into town. I think the majority of that is because the numbers of the COVID cases have gone up significantly. A lot of our customers have decided that they're obviously going to stay at home or, you know, keep themselves in isolation. So we've noticed a distinct lack of footfall down through town, and especially through our shop. And
so this has happened since we've opened the border?
Yes, definitely. Marked change in the numbers of people coming through the doors. You only have to look at Strand Street. It's lunchtime now. There's very few people around. Usually you'd see quite a number of people milling around, you know, meeting up, and you just don't see the same numbers.
Meanwhile, in Castletown, Secret Pizza Co. has had to close its doors for this weekend due to key members of staff testing positive for COVID-19. I've been speaking to one of the business's founders, Kylie Rollins, who says she doesn't see why government can't offer support now like they have done previously.
Last weekend, this was a major factor in why we made the decision. We must have had more than half of our customers who are booked in on Friday cancel. We ended up cancelling our live music, and it was just not that good of an experience, I don't think. I mean, the team worked incredibly hard. It was a massive, amazing effort from them. But yeah, it wasn't up to our usual standards, I don't think. And then we subsequently had another positive test after last weekend. Yeah, we took the decision after a pretty bad weekend financially and, I guess, morale-wise as well, last weekend. We took the decision to close.
The thoughts of two Manx businesses there. The Chamber of Commerce says the combined issues of customers cancelling and key staff members having to self-isolate are being experienced throughout the industry, causing a vicious cycle where companies cannot make money, and as such, their employees lose income.
There will be a briefing tonight at 5 o'clock. We just had news in from government. The Chief Minister will hold a COVID-19 briefing at 5 o'clock. It'll be broadcast live on Manx Radio, AM, FM, on the digital service, and also on YouTube and on Facebook. There's an update on the proposed changes to the Isle of Man's COVID regulations going before Tynwald this week, as well as the island's overall position. There are currently no plans for the Isle of Man to enter lockdown or for any changes to the border's position apart from the changes before Tynwald. Also, we're being advised there are no plans for face coverings to be mandatory. These will remain a matter of personal choice and an individual risk assessment. Anyway, you'll hear tonight, 5 o'clock, live on Manx Radio. There will be a COVID-19 briefing. The Chief Minister will be live on Manx Radio at 5 o'clock. That news out in the past 5 minutes. I thought I'd clarify the position regarding the dolphins. A message in the dolphins that were being chased at Glenwillan, apparently. This correspondent says... there were no dolphins around Glenwillan. There were no dolphins in the bay. Jet Ski Phil says we have complete respect for the dolphins. If we see dolphins, we turn our skis off and we watch. We do not chase the dolphins. Just a quick word, if you're visiting Noble's Hospital in the coming weeks, you should leave adequate time to get there for an appointment or a meeting. There are planned roadworks in the Braddon area. From Monday, DOI begins a six-week programme of works to upgrade Braddon Road from the junction at Braddon Bridge to the roundabout and the junction with Ballor Fletcher Road. Braddon Road's going to be made one way from Braddon Bridge in the direction of Nobles, so ambulances and other emergency vehicles can get to the hospital, Mount Rule and Strang areas quickly. So just be aware of that. From Monday, roadworks around Nobles Hospital. Thanks to producer Barry Redfern. Man in Line's back tomorrow at midday.